Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and this is time for our special feature in which we read from the Rockcliffe Review. And the article in the bulletin that was passed out at the Rockcliffe Meeting House this particular Sunday was titled, "The Greatest in the Kingdom of God." History tells us of great men. We read of Cyrus the Great, Alexander the Great, Herod the Great, and of others. They were great in their kingdoms because they were great in war and great in rule. Those desiring to be great with them wanted to be at their sides. As Jesus was making his way from Caesarea Philippi to Jerusalem, his disciples were anticipating the coming of his kingdom. They were ready for Jesus to be the greatest king of the greatest kingdom ever. But they did not yet understand the spiritual nature of his kingdom. And they did not understand spiritual greatness. Mark tells us of three times on this journey in which Jesus taught his disciples about spiritual greatness. The first was when Jesus came to Capernaum. Jesus knew his disciples had been disputing among themselves about who should be the greatest. Mark writes, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?' But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, 'If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all.' And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me. And whoso shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me.'" Mark 9:33-37. Children had little social status. If they were to be received at all, it would be by women. Great men had more important things to do than to be distracted by children. But Jesus said the greatest would receive children, would be a servant, and would be last. Jesus loved the little children. The second time we read about Jesus teaching his disciples about true spiritual greatness was when Jesus came to the coast of Judea on the far side of Jordan, Mark 10:1. Mark writes, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.' And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them." Mark 10:13-16. Jesus' disciples had not been listening. Jesus went from private teaching in a house to a public demonstration of his teaching. In this context, receiving the kingdom means receiving Jesus' teaching about service and lowliness. Now the third time Jesus taught them about humility was on the way up to Jerusalem, Mark 10:32. Mark writes, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, 'Master, we would that thou would do for us whatsoever we shall desire.' And he said to them, 'What would ye that I should do to you?' And they said, 'Grant unto us that we may sit on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand for thy glory.' But Jesus said unto them, 'Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized of the baptism that I am baptized with?' And they said, 'We can.' Jesus said unto them, 'Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared.'" Mark 10:35-40. We marvel at Jesus' patience with his disciples. But Jesus knew what lay in store for them. He knew the time would come when they would drink the poison cup of agony and death, and they would be immersed in hardship and suffering. Greatness in our Lord's kingdom would not come through merit or compassion or merit or commission. It would be recognized by suffering and service. Mark continues, "And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called to them and said to them, 'Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you shall be chiefest shall be servant of all. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" Mark 10:41-45. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is the greatest. Those who would be great at his side must follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, let us leave an example that we should follow in his steps." Now that was the article in the Rockcliffe Review that morning, and I read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with a reading of the Rockcliffe Review, we're now going to return to our regularly scheduled lesson. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson on the tabernacle. We'd come to the different instruments thereof, and there was this basin called the laver, L-A-V-E-R. Now, the dimensions of the laver are not brass. It was made of brass. It was made of the brazen mirrors that the children of Israel received. Its location and purpose were given. It's the molten sea, what Solomon made, and it's described in 1 Kings 7. If the priests did not wash as God directed, they must die. Paul speaks of now of the washing or the laver of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 as the way through which we are saved by the mercy and grace of God. That washing must have typified baptism now. Baptism is called a washing. We read Ananias said to Paul, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now the tabernacle and all that was in it, the altar and all its vessels, the laver and its base, they needed to be anointed and sanctified or set apart to holy use. Not only so, but the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry were sprinkled with blood or dedicated with blood. Not even a pen or vessel could be used unless it was thus anointed or sealed. The Church of Christ has been cleansed and bought with the blood of Jesus and filled with his Spirit. And we can have no vessels of the ministry in which it has not been dedicated or sealed by his blood. The children of Israel were a blessing in the land of the house of bondage. They worshipped in the blood-sealed tabernacle and practiced the blood-sealed service. So we are blessed by the blood of Christ by coming to him through his blood-sealed service. We accept Jesus as our sin offering because in him we repent of our sins and were baptized into him as our righteousness and become priests unto God and serve in his spiritual temple. We're told how Aaron and his sons were hallowed to be ministers in the priest's office. The holy garments were described. And it was all done as Jehovah commanded. The setting up of the tabernacle was finished, and we read that it was stated 18 times that all these things were done as God had commanded Moses. When Moses had built the tabernacle and set it up with everything in its place as God specified, then God covered it with his cloud and filled it with his glory. Thus God accepted the work of Moses. And the work that he had done, the cloud and the pillar of the fire, were signs to the Israelites when to travel. When the cloud was not taken up and going before them, when the cloud was taken up and went before them, they followed it, and where it abode on the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. Now note these facts. Moses built the tabernacle according to God's plan or pattern. And Christ built the church after God's pattern. The tabernacle was dedicated by the blood of animals, and the church by the blood of Christ. When Moses had finished the tabernacle, God filled it with his glory. And when Jesus finishes his work and sets up his church, God fills it with his Spirit, Acts chapter 2. And because of the... And it became the habitation of God in the Spirit. Now that ends the text for that Sunday school lesson, but there's a little rhyme down here at the end, and it's not given to an author, it simply says selected. But let me read this rhyme to you. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetting way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to be ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won, while thinking still of others. Now on the opening page, we have the next Sunday school lesson. It is a temperance lesson. The title of this lesson is Obedience to Law. Let me read the text, Leviticus 26, 3 through 5, and then verses 14 through 20. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rains in their seasons, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. Now, Exodus 26:14. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhor my ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also do this unto you. I will appoint you terror over even consumption and fever that shall consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be smitten before your enemies. They that hate you shall rule over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet do those things or hearken unto me, then I will chastise you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 9. Drink no wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons that are with thee. The devotional reading comes from the 23rd Psalm, 23rd Proverbs chapter 23. You may want to turn and mark that in your Bible, and we'll begin there with our next class.